Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. I'm just adjusting my microphone a little bit on my headset. Sorry if that made a weird noise. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. It's just amazing to me that, next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday is Christmas. It's amazing. And the way everything is just kind of flowing and things that are happening. And I want to start this show with sharing just a couple of pieces of just good, not necessarily good news, but good stuff, good stuff that I've experienced over the week since I talked to you last week with CA. Because it's important to share good news. It's important to focus on what is good, what's uplifting, and just really how much we are supported, how much I am supported, because I can only share from myself, but just always supported, always provided for, even when it doesn't look that way. That's the thing. That's the thing about being in life. We would love it to be like A, B, C, D. It's this, 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 and this, and then I'll be back at this time, and then I go there, and then this is what's going to happen, and know that. That would be so comfortable, wouldn't it? If it actually worked out that way, that would be so comfortable. Well, it's never going to. On the odd occasion, yes. On the odd occasion, yes. But I think the thing that's important is not to call it bad or wrong when things don't go the way you think they're supposed to go. Just have them. Just have them. Just accept it. Whatever happens is what's happening, or what happened, or what will happen. And turning it over, surrendering it to that infinite God mind that you are, that meets every demand, no matter what that demand is, allows you to relax, allows you to just kind of to let go and be in life and experience whatever is coming up as it's coming up. And what I want to talk about, I have two things that I want to share. And the reason why I'm talking about this right now in this way is because one of the things I want to talk about is my computer. My computer that I have, my only computer that I have, and I've talked about it before, when it's, my computer died and I called my computer guy and he just happened to send somebody right over. Well, this is one of those things. This is like a wonderful, supportive relationship that I have with my computer guy. And he has another guy that works with him. And so it's either Mark or Jeff that I see when I call them. But they are very, very busy. Very, very busy. But yesterday, I need a new computer, a new laptop. And the story of my laptop, I have a little HP laptop that belonged to my mother. And after she died at the end of November 2023, and it was, I think, in January of 2024, that my desktop, my PC computer, that giant thing that was sitting beside my desk, the drive, died. I mean, dead. Black screen, period. The end. And so, I called Mark, and Mark came over. He sent Jeff over. And Jeff goes, yep, it's dead. Right. Thanks. So now I'm going to have to buy a new computer on top of everything else. And, but I had just that week, I'd been over to my mom's, and my sister-in-law says, do you need your mom's computer, her little laptop? And I said, well, actually, yeah, I don't have a good laptop. So I brought it here. And as he's sitting at my desk telling me that my computer's dead, I looked over and I said, well, I have my mom's laptop, but I haven't done anything with it. And he goes, well, then we'll just plug it in and we'll make it your desktop. We'll plug your monitor into it and get it up and running. And that's what he did. And that was in January of 2024. And as of, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I'm getting these messages saying the disk is almost full, clear disk space. So I went on Google and figured out how to do that. I am not a techie. I don't know. And really, for the most part, I don't want to know. You know, I just want to know how to get my work done because I work on my computer every day and I need it. But anyway, he got it all set up for me. It's worked for almost 2 years and the disk is full and there is nothing more to take off of it. I mean, it's got such a small C drive that there's just nothing. In fact, Windows 11 takes up the majority of it. So anyway, yesterday I'm trying to write my show and now I'm getting, your disk is almost full, as I'm writing my show in Word. So I thought, okay, because I'd been debating, do I call Mark Palmer? Do I call Mark, you know, and ask him to get me a new computer? What do I do? And finally, when that showed up, as I'm writing my show and I'm in my stream of consciousness, so to speak, and really in a groove to write my show, I'm getting these messages. So it's like, I give Mark a call, fully expecting to leave a message. He answered the phone. I told him what was going on. He goes, well, Jeff is sitting right here with me. He'll be right over. Their office isn't far away. Jeff came over. He did what he could, came to the same conclusion. I need a new computer because my disk. When he called Mark back at the office, he said, I have more space on my smartwatch than Kelly has on this computer. So she needs a new computer. So Mark's going to get a new laptop for me today. And as I said, I don't know what to go and get. I don't know. And again, I don't know what's best for me. He does. He knows exactly what I do, all the aspects of my business. And I know he'll get exactly the right thing and he'll do the very best for me price-wise. So that's in the works. And then they'll come over and just basically transfer it and I'll be good to go. But as I was writing, as I was just finishing up this morning, because he did free up a little bit of space. And I said, okay, I just have to be able to finish writing my show and do my show. And then, you know, after 12 o'clock tomorrow, I'm okay. You know, whatever happens, I've got my phone. I can work on my phone. And he said, we should get you there. He says, we'll be able to get a new laptop to you tomorrow or the day after. And so I thought that was great. Well, I'm just getting to the end of finishing my show up today because there was like a lot of interruptions yesterday. And here it's like autosaved failed because your disk is almost full. But I have it. I have everything up until that moment. So it's just of course, it's not what I wanted to have happen. Obviously not. And it shook me up, but here it is. It's being taken care of. And the minute I call, he answered the phone. These guys are busy. It's a small operation. They're busy. But Jeff came right over, and Jeff's just a big sweetheart, you know, and the nicest guy in the world. And I'm taken care of. And I'll have my computer, and I will not miss a beat. You know, I'll be able to keep working. I got my show written and I'm excited to share it with you. So that was the first example of being totally and completely provided for, which I always, always am. And, you know, just, it just brings into my mind that phrase, there's not one grain of sand out of place on this earth. There isn't. It's a no mistakes universe. And the way anything hits us is through our perception of it. We judge something as bad. That's how it will prove itself to be to us. We are master and commander. We are the the dictators of our own experience. We truly are. And so, you know, I'm at this point grateful beyond belief and actually happy to have a new computer and not have to think about, oh no, how long is it going to last? See, that's a thing that's another thing that I don't think we think about. Let me see if I can put this into words. You know, some things not going right or wearing out or something hurts in your body. And you just keep trying to either and I'm just saying this as an example, trying to figure out, well, what if I do this? You know, what if I do this for my knee or my elbow or whatever it is? Or what if I take this? Or what if I do this? Or what if I reboot personal experience? I'll just restart my computer. And that worked for a while until you're restarting your computer every 5 minutes. But doing this, meanwhile, okay, you've got like a brief reprieve. You know, maybe you take an Advil and your elbow stops hurting or whatever it is. Or maybe you decide to go to the store on Thursday rather than Wednesday, but you really don't want to go to the store at all. But the thing is that thing is still a thing. You know, it's still a thing. It's still a thing in your experience that you're going to have to do something with. So when you make the decision to do something about it, all of a sudden, weight drops off your shoulders. That thing is not hanging over your head anymore. You've done, and in the moment, you've done the best you know how to do to take care of it. And I think in that, when you make the decision, Reverend Knight, the power of a made-up mind is the power of God. Absolutely, it is. Because your energy changes when you make up your mind to just do something, you know, to take care of it, to do whatever it is. And then that thing, that anvil, you know, like the anvil that hung over Wile E. Coyote in the cartoons, isn't there anymore. And you can focus. Because we only have so much space in our space. And when we're trying to do something and there's a distraction like that, we can't be in the moment fully focused and as effective as we can be when we just have that thing to focus on. So that's something I think is worth, I don't know, knowing, just knowing. Is this worry and concern that, you know, maybe in the next 2 minutes I'm not going to have a computer worth it? Or do I just bite the bullet and say, please get me a new computer? Or what, again, whatever it is, that's just my story. But as I said, I'm blessed and I'm really excited to get a new computer. I think that's neat. That's a blessing to me. It's a great Christmas present to myself. So the second story I wanted to tell you, and it's kind of the same thing about life showing up the way it does when, you know, you'd rather have it be a little different. On the show last week, I was telling CA talking to CA about my little Bichon Grace having to have some teeth pulled. And her appointment was last Friday. And honestly, it could not have gone better. It could not have gone better, especially after the first time or the time back in September when she had the initial few teeth pulled. It was a traumatic event for Grace and for me. And I really didn't have a lot of confidence in her vet that did it. So I was feeling much better about taking her to this dental center to have these teeth taken care of. So it really, as I said, it went so well. I took her to the dental center and the care she got and the vet that did the extractions was just wonderful. Her previous vet said she needed 6 teeth extracted, but this doctor took new x-rays and ended up pulling only 2. He deep cleaned the rest of them. And there are others, you know, that we'll keep our eye on and, you know, take care of. But but she didn't need to have six teeth pulled. That was an incredible, incredible relief to me, and I'm sure to her too. But, you know, it was just really interesting. And it was really clear to me that he and the team of people that we saw, from the girl at the front desk when we dropped her off to the doctor, I didn't meet him in person, but he called me and we talked about it. And the vet tech who brought her out and explained everything to me and gave me detailed information about what they did and why they did it were just wonderful. I mean, it was just honestly a terrific experience. But they also told me that even though they're a dental and surgery center, that I could bring her there for her comprehensive exams. And even though it is a ways away from where we live, it took about 30 minutes to get there. I said yes, because honestly, these people were just head and shoulders above the other place that I was taking her and the people that I dealt with there. And again, not just different. Just different. So anyway, that was great. You know, that was great. That experience was great. The place where where the dental center is located is in a suburb of Denver. And it's really a suburb of Denver that I am totally unfamiliar with, and one that I've always avoided because it is pretty far away. So why would I go there? But you would think the highway is the only way to get there when you do Google Maps or you know, try and get directions. But the highway is a nightmare. You know, it's just a nightmare. So I always try and find my own way to get places, avoiding the highway. And in order to get to this place, if you're from Colorado or Denver area, it's on Park Meadows. Well, I live in Southeast Denver, which is a ways away from there. And taking the side streets, I have to go through another kind of, I don't know if you'd call it a suburb, but an area south of me to get to the dental center called the Tech Center. And the Tech Center has always intimidated me because the streets change names as you're driving on them. So I remember when I was in the mortgage business and I would go close my loans and I'd have to meet in you know, at a title company in the Tech Center. I mean, and that was before, you know, Siri and voice directions. I had all the directions written out on the seat of the car, you know, and I'm watching them as I'm trying to drive. But it's just so easy to get turned around down there. And I've kind of like been in no man's land there several times. But I actually got turned around a little bit on my way to drop her off. But we left early enough that I got her there by, you know, just about 5 minutes late. So I drop her off at 7:20 in the morning. And I had to just leave her and wait to hear when I could pick her up. And of course, here we go. Her pickup time was 5 p.m., right in the middle of rush hour. And when it is pitch black now outside at 5 o'clock at night. So here I am. At least I'd been there before. Wasn't the first time. Here I am. I found a different, simpler way to get there, but I was still in unfamiliar territory and in the dark. So thank God for Siri. You know, talk about support. Siri is support. But I honestly had to laugh as I turned it over. You know, I just turned it over to God to get me there and get me home again. And it's like, I've got to go get my dog. It's rush hour. I got to go through the tech center. And that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. I have to do it. So take a breath, get in your car, and go, which is what I did. And all in all, it was just under 2 hours from the time I left home to the time I got back home. We got back home. And we only spent about 20 minutes at the vet's office. And the rest was just driving in rush hour. But I'll tell you what, when I got home, I felt totally victorious. I did something that really I never wanted to do. And granted, again, what you focus on, you expand. Worrying about the time, worrying about driving in rush hour. What do you think? It's going to prove itself, you know, it's going to prove itself to be driving in rush hour to me. And it did. But I didn't want to do that, but I did. And I lived to tell about it. But that's just life. Life showing up. Okay, I can sit here and I can sweat and have heart palpitations all the way there and all the way back, or I can just go with it. I can just have it and go with it and see what happens. See, that's the other thing too. When you kind of turn stuff over, when you just decide, okay, it is what it is, take over, you know, that which lives me, take over. Then you can actually enjoy it. You know, you can have it for what it is, which is not a big monster. It's not the monster you thought it was going to be. But anyway, Grace has done really well. She loves canned food. You know, big surprise when she realizes she's not going to have it forever, but she has to have it for about 10 days until her mouth heals. But I think her worst thing, the worst thing about it is she can't have a greenie, you know, a chew treat. That's her only treat during the day. But she can't have another one. She can't have one for another week. So we're getting used to that. But, you know, God is good. God is good. Support is always there. And we just have to let go and trust it. That's the best thing that we can do. You don't have to do anything. I just have to let go and trust it. And when I do, my way is made for me. And it happens all the time. All the time. So this experience ended up being all around the best I could hope for. So thank you for joining me today. That was a long talk. We're here live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat, and then you can click the YouTube link that's posted under my banner. Or you can subscribe to my channel. I don't do readings on the show, but if you'd like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening, and you can always schedule a call, put in a callback request if I happen to be busy or you don't see me, and I'll get back to you as quickly as I possibly can. On 12listen.com, we have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week. Typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and the 12th of each month, which is 1-2-day. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. While you're there, post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. We will support. It is moderated by the advisors at 12listen, and we will add our attention to your intention and help you bring it into your reality if it's not, and celebrate with you if it is. Thank you again for listening. However and whenever, there's programming 12 on 12 Radio 24/7. And there are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. And just, you know, 12 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. But please take advantage. Please take advantage. Right now, I want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. And we're going to move into the teaching segment by listening to just a few minutes of a traditional Christmas song, Silent Night by Everstar from the Yuletide in the Shire CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. Thanks, everyone. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I'm very happy that you're here. welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I wanted to play that song because, number one, it's beautiful. It's a traditional Christmas carol. And most of all, because it reminds me of my elementary school Christmas programs. You know, it just brings them all flooding back. And just Christmas, with my grandma and grandpa and when we were little kids. And it's just lovely. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it did the same for you, brought some warm feelings and memories to you. So I want to I guess the theme of this show is really, the overarching theme is acceptance. And so last week, when I was talking to CA, I shared the Alan Watts story about God creating the dictionary and taking it to go visit Gabriel and leaving it in the taxi. And the devil got in the taxi and added two words to the dictionary. They were ought and should. So that's kind of where I want to start. I want to talk a little bit more about ought and should, which are the same thing. You know, I ought to do that or I should do that. It's the very same thing. So I talked last week about them as obligation. You know, I should do that because someone asked me and I should do it. Today, I want to look at them in a different context. And I want to just start with my personal example of how this came into my head to talk about in this particular way. I have been following a primarily alkaline diet since 2018. And it truly makes me happy. My body is good with it. And it's easy. You know, it's easy for me to do. Alkaline foods are primarily fresh vegetables and fruit, whole grains, tree nuts, basically live foods. Alkaline foods are those that digest to alkaline. And one of the most alkaline foods are lemons and citrus fruit, which sounds counterintuitive because they're acidic. But it's how the food digests in your system. Acidic foods are those that digest to acid and contribute to inflammation in the body and other things. But acidic foods are dairy, gluten, coffee, black tea, alcohol, meat, for a few examples. But really, it's not that black and white, because all foods have varying degrees of alkalinity and acidity. And even with a primarily alkaline diet, you still need some acidity to be healthy. So you can't, I don't know, somebody probably could, you know, eat a completely alkaline diet, but then that would lead to other problems, right? It's like, I remember Stuart Wilde saying that, you know, talking about health and diet and stuff, saying that he'd known people that had such rarefied diets that was, you know, that they were some of the sickest people he ever knew because they couldn't tolerate anything else. They narrowed it down so much that they couldn't tolerate anything else. But, you know, for me, I avoid dairy and gluten. Not that I'm allergic to either one, but I eat primarily fresh fruits and vegetables and sprouted grain bread and tortilla chips, you know, corn chips, but, and other things. But I mean, just day to day, me by myself, an arugula salad with tomato and cucumber is my staple dinner. And I'm happy. You know, I like it. I'm not forcing myself to do that. And now it's been 5 years. But, you know, as I said, I'm not allergic to dairy or gluten, but I feel much, much better when I don't eat them very often. The goal is to eat 80% alkaline. But that's a lofty goal. That is a lofty goal. And, you know, the thing is that, yes, that's how I eat primarily day to day. But if I have the opportunity to go out to dinner, and especially for Italian food, I'm going to eat pasta and cheese and eat it in a total and complete attitude of ecstasy because it's my favorite. You know, and that's The other thing that's my favorite is I have a Saturday ritual. I go to yoga at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, and on my way home, I go to Viva Burrito. And I get the best egg, bean, and cheese breakfast burrito on the planet. They have the most wonderful food. Viva is just a little drive-through, but it's my favorite Mexican restaurant because it's very authentic. You know, their tortillas are homemade. They're not bready. They're nice and thin and kind of chewy. They have real refried beans, which I think they use, shortening to refry them. And their carnitas are to die for, but enough of a, if you live in Denver, go to Viva Burrito. It's at Oneida and Leedsdale. Terrific food and good prices too. But back to the breakfast burrito. There is nothing alkaline about that burrito. Nothing. But it's one of my favorite things. And I love my Saturday morning ritual. Saturday before last, I was sitting at the table, savoring every bite of my burrito. And the words, "This is good for me," came into my head. They just came in. "This is good for me." And you know what? It was good for me because it made me happy. No, it wasn't alkaline, but it didn't matter. And I wasn't sitting there thinking how many alkaline things I should eat to make up for eating this burrito. I was just loving it. And it was loving me back. It made me think, though, about how many times we tell ourselves we should do this or we should not have done that, how unforgiving we are to ourselves when we don't follow our own rules or something that we've committed to, how we judge ourselves according to what's acceptable and what's not. Actually, how rigidly, think of it in these terms, this is a different, like a different look at this, how rigidly we commit to things that we think we should do or be when we're not honestly there in our consciousness. You know, saying, you know, rather than, and what I mean by that, we're not there in our consciousness. We have to become conscious of the thing that we want to be. And you can only do that by doing it. But in that rigidity, we don't give ourselves any wiggle room, which is if I blow it, if I fall off my diet, or if I have to have a cigarette, or, you know, whatever it is, that's okay. You know, that's okay. But we do this to ourselves. You know, we have to do this. We have to be this way. And when we're not, we kick the crap out of ourselves for not being it. Well, God doesn't demand that of us. We're demanding that of ourselves. Stuart Wilde said, and this is in the context of an addiction. For example, he said, a person will stop smoking the moment it becomes more important to them to be a non-smoker than a smoker, and not before. So it's just, that's consciousness. That's consciousness. And you can't force that. It's something that comes along in the course of being, in the course of doing something. Alan Watts said in Four Ways to Center, the result of pretense of not being honest with ourselves is untold confusion. The initial step is to be honest with yourself and do what you do with determination. No matter what it is, go straight ahead. No matter what happens, go straight ahead. If what you're going to do is wrong, do it well. And Martin Luther said, if you're going to sin, make it a good one. If you're going to make a mistake, make it a good one. There's a Zen saying, walk or stand as you will, but don't wobble. I love that. Don't wobble. So I ate my burrito in total and complete appreciation and happiness. It was good for me because it made me happy. And I was absolutely in that joy. Should and ought are the bearers of guilt and obligation. They just are. So, you know, I intended to do that and I fell short. Oh, well, I sacrifice any emotional stickiness about that. I sacrifice it. It happened. now put one foot in front of the other and move forward. And when it happens again, which it probably will, I will do the same thing and just keep moving forward. I think for me, all the love and happiness I felt eating my burrito absolutely canceled out the should or shouldn't, because I'm certain that I wouldn't love burritos so much if God in me didn't love burritos. Well, in his book, The Meaning of Happiness, Alan Watts was talking about freedom. And he wrote, "We have a popular phrase that describes this freedom, spiritual freedom. Let yourself go. In the language of religion and psychology, it's called self-abandonment. This is to abandon yourself to your experience, your state of mind, as it is at this very moment, being prepared to let it take you wherever it wills. But as we've seen, as soon as you let life live you, you discover that you are living life with an altogether new fullness and zest. To return to the analogy of the dance, it is as if you allowed your partner, life, to swing you along until you so get the feel of the dance that you are doing the swinging just as much as your partner. And then she'll laugh at you and tell you that you were doing it all the time, only that you were so busy trying to figure out the steps by yourself that you forgot your partner and even forgot that it was a dance. Thus, the free man has the feeling of an unchanging center in himself, a center which is not exactly in his ego and not exactly in life, nature, or the unconscious, as independent of the ego. He is free because this center makes him feel absolutely secure and at home in the universe. He can take it anywhere, make it do anything, for as Lao Tzu said, of the Tao, using it, he finds it inexhaustible. This center is the point on which his feeling of wholeness depends, and it develops out of faith, because he trusts and abandons himself to life on the one hand and to himself on the other, and also to the dance that is between them. God imparts his life and strength to all creatures, trusting them to use it as they will, because God is the principle of faith and love. When man can have that same faith and love for all the creatures of his mind, which are the states of his mind from moment to moment, then he becomes at one with God. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven is within us, microcosm of the macrocosm, and man finds his freedom through faith in his own universe, making the sun of his acceptance to rise on the evil and the good. Now, in this, there is profound humility. For as God knows himself in the sinner as well as in the saint, in the slime as well as in the stars, so also man, in partaking of the freedom of God, must recognize himself in his depths as well as in his heights. For our true instructors in wisdom are not the sages and their writings, but the creatures of our own minds, the gods and demons of thought and feeling, and their reaction to the outer world of experience. And of these demons, the blackest of all is called Lucifer, the bearer of light, for he is made to show us that there is light in the darkness as well as in the light. In the words of Monoimus the Gnostic, cease to seek after God outside of yourself and the universe and things similar to these. Seek him from out of thyself, and learn whence is sorrow and joy and love and hate, and walking though one would not, waking though one would not, and sleeping though one would not, and getting angry though one would not, and falling in love though one would not. And if thou should closely investigate these things, you will find him, God, in thyself, one and many, just as the atom, thus finding from thyself a way out of thyself. Well, we are never separate from our source. And the more we can be tolerant of ourselves, accept those angels and demons within ourselves, no matter where we are, how we feel, or what we're doing, You know what happens? We silence the inner critic. We silence the ego telling us what we should do and how we did that wrong and you know, don't ever do that again. We silence the inner critic and we connect more deeply with our center, which is God. Now, I'm just going to close with a little more from Alan Watts. That was all from his book, The Meaning of Happiness. And this is this what I'm going to read is as well. But since it's Christmas, I just wanted to share a little bit about Jesus. And Watts wrote, Saint Athanasius, that was hard to say, Athanasius, it's a toughie, those saints' names, said, He, God, became man that we might be made God. Therefore, in Christian terms, the descent of God into man as Christ is a historical symbol of an eternal event. A historical symbol of an eternal event. A union of God and man in which neither ceases to exist. For Christ, or Jesus, was as much man as God. And a union which achieves realization from both sides at once. Meister Eckhart puts it this way. It is as if one stood before a high mountain and cried, Art thou there? And the echo comes back, Art thou there? If one cries, Come out, the echo answers, Come out. The echo only follows the call because there's a physical space between man and mountain, and because the mountain has no tongue and cannot call and be echoed by the man. But God and man have a closer union. And Eckhart says, The eye with which I see God is the same with which God sees me. That's beautiful. And the thing about Jesus is that his life was the perfect example of non-duality. The perfect example. He mastered that. He was the master of that. Oneness with the Father. He said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He also called himself both the Son of Man and the Son of God. His message exemplified the teachings of the Upanishads, the Tao, and the Buddha mind. Original Christianity, non-duality, is not religion, but union with the Father, the divine ground, Brahman, the Tao, all that is, capital A, and all that is, small a. My conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. And on that note, we're going to quit a couple minutes early. I feel the circle is complete. I feel happy and joyful, and I hope that you were blessed by all that came through, by all that was said. And I wish you a very, very blessed holiday season, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thank you. Bye-bye.